Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. York County Councilman Joel Hamilton joins us today on our Straight Talk program, and there's just a couple of things going on in the county that we thought would be interesting for us to discuss here today. But first, I want to know, how has your first term in office gone so far? You haven't been on here since you were elected.
Yeah, so this is the first time since, it's hard to believe I was on here more often before I actually got in that seat than after. So far, it's been great. And I said a minute ago, I appreciate your patience and letting me get my feet underneath me a little bit before I come on. But, you know, the first year has been great.
I think you need to take a minute and tell the famous story.
Sure.
About, this is great. How did he end up being a councilman? Let's talk about your luncheon and then the evening at home and then what you found at your office.
Yeah. So, you know, I had lunch with a good friend of mine, Glenn McCall, a couple years ago. And while we were at lunch, he asked me if I was ever planning on running for office. And I said, you know, Glenn, there's really nothing to run for. I'm in Chad Williams' district. He's doing a fantastic job. I'm in Ray Felder's district. She does a fantastic job. West Clymer's district, he does a fantastic job. There's really, you know, what's open? There's nothing to run for. Jim Reno, he does a great job. And so I get back from lunch and pull up WRHI news, and there's the headline that says Chad Williams is not going to seek re-election for his county council seat. So I called Glenn and said, well, maybe this is something worth thinking about. So anyway, that evening, I get home, and I'm discussing it with my wife. And I said, I better go back and look at the numbers and see how that district is voted. So I start packing up my things to head to the office. And she says, well, hold on a minute. Before you leave, can you help me get the girls out of the bathtub? And of course, I said, okay, get the girls out of the bathtub. And then I jump in the car, head over to the office. Well, while I'm on my way there, I get a call from the Rock Hill Police Department saying that there was an SUV sticking out of my office.
Sticking out of your office.
And I said, you know, there's certainly it's not that bad. And he said, oh, it's that bad. So I get to my office and I find an SUV sticking out of my office. Unfortunately, someone had gone off the road and run through the building. My good friend Chris Miller's there, your colleague and friend, and so he's in the parking lot. He had driven by and seen this happen. Of course, blue lights everywhere. But what's amazing is it was basically right where I sit at my desk. And if I had not stopped, if my wife had not asked me to help with the girls, I would have been at my desk when this vehicle went through the office and definitely have suffered some very serious, if not life-threatening, injury.
So you've been right at ground zero.
I would have been right at ground zero. So that would have ended my political
career before it started.
Yeah, exactly.
So here you are.
I'm glad it turned out that way. And you know, the driver of the vehicle thankfully turned out okay. So, yeah.
Well, good.
Yep.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
Good story. So has the job as an elected official been more than what you thought it would be?
You know, I had the good fortune of having a lot of people that I could speak with and a lot of folks that have been excellent mentors over the last several years. And, you know, being the party chair for a while and being involved with county politics for a while before actually getting into the office, let's just say I was able to figure out what the expectations were going in. So nothing really surprising. Frankly, it's because you hear so many horror stories going in, but of course people want to tell you sometimes the worst things to expect. It's really not that bad, and it's things that I really enjoy. I enjoy solving problems, and I've said all along, even while I was running, the types of problems that we get to solve are the best kind of problems to have, because typically they revolve around growth and just the sheer number of people that want to run or want to move here, and those are the things that I really enjoy. So for me, it's been fun.
With that being said, one of the things that I've been asking your colleagues as they appear on Straight Talk, and you've been on there long enough and you've seen enough of the dynamics of how council works, is, do you think we've reached a point in your county's history, because of all of the growth, that we need to change our district system so that we have some at-large representation, so that we have one or two, whatever the number would be, county council members that were elected district-wide, rather than the small district system we have right now, where everybody has their little slice of the pie and has a tendency just to look at their little slice of the pie and not at the whole entity?
Sure. I like to think that if there is an issue there, that it can be solved without changing the entire way that we elect officials. I think for the most part, we do a good job of thinking about the county as a whole. We have a system that, for better or for all its issues or for its pros and cons, has been there for a long time. Frankly, I don't know if that would really solve anything, because we still have pockets of population within the county. So even an at-large position would feel more beholden to a particular pocket of population, whether there's a line drawn around it or not. So I'm not sure that system would magically solve all the answers. I think as a council, we can continue to strive to consider issues and consider problems as a county and do what's best for the county.
You're right. In the purest form,
right,
even though you're elected from a district, you are elected to think about the whole county.
Yes.
But you and I both know that that's not always the case.
Correct.
And sometimes it rears its head.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of those things that we're talking about right now where I think it's reared its head. So let's just go ahead and take on number one, and that is the request by the city of Rock Hill for the council to consider, the York County Council, to approve merging the two downtown TIF districts into one and allowing the city some more debt ceiling capacity to take care of the infrastructure they need to build for this $500 million worth of construction, which is underway right now, that nobody expected a few years ago when these TIFs were put together. The request was submitted last fall. You all hired an independent auditor to take a look at the TIF districts. I didn't know that was going on, but I guess I must have missed that. So the auditor issues his report, and as we scanned through the report, there weren't really any red flags. Nothing had been done wrong. Although the auditor suggested, why don't we do this, 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 and this, to be more transparent.
Sure. I think that's all accurate.
The media is accurate? How can that be possible?
Exactly. So, yeah, we did. We asked for an auditor to come in and look at what the city has done with the TIF funds since 1988. So this
Let me ask you something right there. Did you think there was a need for that to be done, to hire an auditor? I mean, I'm sure the city could have issued their copies of what they've done. Was it necessary to have? I'm just curious.
Well, I think in any situation where you're talking about this much money and you're talking about protecting taxpayers, as a county and as a separate entity, we have a duty that's incumbent upon us to make sure that the taxpayers are getting our best judgment. And part of that is making sure that we are looking at it, with an unbiased set of eyes that are experts at looking at these things. So that's really what we did. And I agree, the auditor's report that we got back Monday night, the same night we voted for a first reading to approve the city's request. And the auditor did suggest some increased transparency, and I think that's good for everybody. So that's the plan moving forward, is to continue along that line. I mean, let's back up a little bit, because there's a few issues one by one. You mentioned the combining the TIFs.
Right.
Okay. And I think that's probably the easiest of the decisions.
Right.
So, and it's really just a function of where the lines are drawn. But the reality is, if they're in separate districts, you have maybe a parking deck that you want to build on one side of the line that actually serves a project on the other side of the line.
Right.
But the problem is you can't combine funds from the two different TIFs. So it makes sense to combine them so that those funds can be used to service all of the development going on downtown. So that makes sense. So the other question is, do we or do we not allow the city to raise the debt ceiling? And the number is $85 million over the next, until 2039. And what that does is allows the city to build out the necessary infrastructure to support, you mentioned, $500 million, no small number, worth of development that wants to go into downtown. And a lot of these projects are knocking on the door wanting to come in. So we're talking about not evolutionary change downtown, but transformational, revolutionary change downtown. And it makes sense for us to allow them to do that. But an $85 million debt increase is a substantial number, and we just want to make sure that the TIF funds would support that. So that's really what we were looking at.
And there has been no request to extend the length of the TIF district.
Correct.
It's still going to
end
at 2039.
The TIF exists either way.
Yeah. So with the auditor saying nothing has been done illegally, and the fact that everybody should be overjoyed by the fact that there's a $500 million worth of construction work in downtown Rock Hill, I really was interested when Councilman Roddy made the request when you came out of executive session, and I was there, that he would request council to all vote in favor of this unanimously on the first reading, because you have a three-reading system. That didn't work. I mean, it was a 5-2, and in reality, it was 4-3, because Councilmember Cox, who was against it, said she would vote for it in the affirmative on the first reading. I'm just surprised why there, with the clean bill of health from the audit, why it wasn't 7-0.
Well, I can't really speak for those council people. You know, Councilwoman Cox and Love and Robert, they all, you know, have their own reasons for how they vote. But I can tell you why I support it. I mean, even if there's things in the auditor's report that they like or dislike, it's the question is, how do we best accommodate the growth from here on out? And there are controls that we can put in place that, you know, they perhaps address anything they dislike from previous ways that the funds were spent. But for me, right now we're faced with a choice. It's a binary choice. Do we approve the raising of the debt limit or do we not? What are the probable outcomes if we do, and what are the probable outcomes if we do not? The probable outcomes if we do allow the city to raise the debt limit is we get a lot more development downtown, which will, and the benefit to the taxpayers is in 2039 when the TIF expires, you're looking at, on the low end, $12 to $15 million more in tax revenue coming from that development. And that's a substantial number. And so, of course, you know, about 58% or so of that goes to the school district. The county's portion is about 22%. So those are big numbers that we're talking about. And so if we don't do this, that's $12 to $15 million, again, on the low end, because we can't really speculate as to what the millage rate will be then. I mean, it's subject to fluctuation. But that's on the low end. But if we don't do it, we know what's going to happen then. We don't have those revenues. So we're missing out as if we're looking out for what's in the best interest of the taxpayers, we're really missing out if we don't allow that development to come in.
I can't imagine that this would not be approved. I mean, what is the downside? Let's assume that...
Exactly.
What is the downside? At 2039, if there's still some debt hanging out there that hasn't been repaid, the city's responsible for it, right?
Right, but the goal is to make sure that doesn't happen.
I got that.
And so to make sure that, you know, the TIF district stays in the black and that it's funded and that it stays on course to be paid back in 2039. Now, no one wants to see it extended. I don't think the city wants to see it extended, certainly not the county. It's already, at that point, it's almost 50 years old as a TIF district. It's over to the tongue twister. But that's much longer than what they are typically in the 15 to 20-year range. No one wants to see it be extended by any means. The goal of the TIF is to create that tax increment, that benefit that gets passed along and becomes revenue at some point when it finally expires. So the goal is to get the development done and to get the TIF expired.
All right, so what happens now? Mm-hmm. We get the county manager, David Hudspeth, together with the city manager, David Heehan, and let them work out what they hope would be acceptable language to both sides?
Exactly. And, if there's some quibbles back and forth at this point, I think they're probably minor. I think we're in a good place to get it done and make sure it's in the best interest of the county and the city.
And what would you guess would be the estimated timetable on that?
Well,
considering that there are apparently at least one project that's pretty much on hold right now,
right,
waiting for this to be approved, so we can build some more parking decks.
Right. I anticipate we'll have our second reading at our next meeting. And then, you know, we'll, if necessary, then we'll discuss whether or not we want to have a special meeting after that for a third reading, or if it's okay to keep it on course with our normal meeting schedule. But I don't think this is anything that's going to, this isn't a can that's going to be kicked down the road another several months. I think we're close to getting it done, and I would hope that's the case, because obviously we don't want to be in the way of new development coming in downtown. And as I said, that development is transformational. No one wants to get in the way of that.
So your read is that you can give, I mean, the council will approve the increased debt ceiling. May not be a unanimous vote, but it's going to pass, and it'll have whatever language needs to be in there to keep everybody happy.
Sure. There seems to be the support there. No one council person can speak for everyone on council, but you know, I can speak. I support it, and it seems to me that there's a consensus to get it done.
Okay. And with all that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to a good pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, the groupie is here, Mr. John Reinhardt. He comes every day so he can eat a fresh sub and sandwich and get into this, right? Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Your County Councilman Joel Hamilton is with us today, and he's earning his stripes in his first term in office. So you walk into the first term on the York County Council, and you've got really some very interesting issues that you've been dealing with. We could spend the rest of the show talking about growth, 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 growth. But let's focus in on what is a big part of that growth, and that is the conversation that has been going on now for well over a year about the Carolina Panthers coming to Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's all been very well publicized. Everybody knows what's going on. You know, the governor came up here for a large ceremony at Fountain Park that we were all there. He's put up certainly all his political capital on the line in getting the legislation through the General Assembly to allow a team to be considered the same way an industry is being considered. And now the city and the county have been doing their thing. And where are we with this thing? Because I believe the ball has been in the county's lap. Is the ball still there? Have you passed it on to the next person? What's going on?
Well,
aren't you glad I asked you this question?
It's how much time do we have? Do we have all afternoon?
No, you got Cliff Notes version.
Okay, Cliff Notes version. First of all, let's talk about what the Panthers development is, because there's a misnomer out there that what we're talking about is a training facility. And when people say that, they think field house, maybe a practice field and some offices. The Panthers coming in to this area, their headquarters, training facility, whatever you want to call it, is probably 25% of the actual development that's at stake here. We're talking about what will likely be $1.5 billion, perhaps more, billion-dollar development. The Panthers' portion of that, their headquarters, is a fraction of the total development, their fraction represents a 5 or 6 multiple of all the economic development dollars spent in York County over the last year. So we're saying their headquarters, their one building, will be 5 or 6 times more than all of the economic development dollars that have been spent in this county over the last year. And you're talking about a county that is known for growth. So these are numbers the likes of which we have not seen as a county.
Which makes this more challenging for everybody.
Which makes it incredibly challenging because there is some speculation as to the upper end of that number. $1.5 billion is a great number. $2 billion is an even better number. So, and where do you draw the line and how do you create your models? So that creates some difficulty there. What the county has been considering is not how much money are we going to give back to David Tepper for doing this. It's how are we going to finance the public assets, the horizontal improvements, roads and such, that will feed a development of the size. And that's what's at stake. Because if the infrastructure does not exist to support a development at the upper end, they're not going to build a development of that size. And it will be a training facility, and it will be the small fraction of what we're actually considering. So that's really what we're talking about. So what the county has been considering is, you know, what portion of the tax revenue from that site will fund the infrastructure required to feed that site. So we have, much like downtown, a situation where growth is paying for growth. So the county has been in a position to consider those things for several months. And as you can imagine, because of this not fitting neatly into the box or models of what we would typically consider for, you know, any PHILO deal, there's some headache involved. And obviously it's going to take a little bit longer than a typical deal. That doesn't mean that it's not a no-brainer to get this done. We've got to get it done. Like anything, I think the devil is in the details. There perhaps was some time throughout that process where, you know, the progress wasn't what we wanted it to be. However, at this point, you know, our staff has been engaged in productive conversations with the Panthers brass, and I think we're close to hammering out the details of what that deal will look like. And it's not the idea of whether or not the Panthers need to come or whether or not we need to support them that's the issue. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. It's more along the lines of, you know, how do we hammer out the details to make the deal work for everybody?
And I think, to be more specific, the people need the infrastructure needs on that site.
Oh, huge.
A couple $100 million.
Huge.
Or something like that.
Huge.
So the city and the county and the school district, basically, mm-hmm. are trying to figure out how can we take the tax revenue, as you mentioned, from this site.
Right.
Is it going to be sufficient to fund it?
Right.
The issue, which has been explained before by, I believe, Bump Roddy, who was here before, said that the only written agreement at that time, which was a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. was a commitment for a $400 million
sure.
development, which was the threshold they needed to meet in order to get the tax consideration of 4% versus 6 or 10 or whatever it
Correct.
Was. Right?
Right. So that's the minimum requirement for the super fee, which is the 4 rather than 6. And because the variances between, you know, 1 billion, 1.5, 2 billion, there's a lot of wiggle room there. I mean, there's a, and no one knows what the economy will do 10 years from now. So it's hard to say what that final number will be. However, the models and the tools that we use to calculate what would be the best deal sort of require that upper end number. And what the number that we've been given is the minimum for the super fee, but the funding requirements for the infrastructure are such a large percentage of the total capital that's being committed, it makes it hard to justify. But you can almost reverse engineer it. If you look at any capital stack for development of that size, the infrastructure is going to be, you know, 5-10% of the total deal, not more than 50%. So you know they're going to spend more than $400 million. That's a no-brainer. So for me, that was not necessarily any issue, but I can understand how, you know, it doesn't fit neatly into the models that we typically work with for these sorts of deals,
right,
if we're being stuck with a $400 million number. So one of the, you know, I think part of the discussions between the county and the Panthers at this point is getting a number where that makes sense, where they can firmly commit to for the county so that, you know, there's comfort level to support that level of infrastructure cost. But I'm grateful that they have recognized the cost of building out the infrastructure necessary to support the site before building it. Because then we would all be on the hook to figure out how in the world to feed people in and out of this site. Otherwise, it would basically shut down and it would stall. So figuring out what the infrastructure needs are ahead of time, and then allowing the site itself, the tax revenues from the site, to fund the infrastructure required for this site, gives us the opportunity to make sure that those costs are not spread out to taxpayers all over the place after this thing gets built. Our fat dollars are already stressed. C funds are already stressed. There's not a way to take the existing funding sources and make all that infrastructure work after the fact.
And since Kevin Madden has been put together with the hierarchy at the Panthers, mm-hmm, I believe my understanding is there's a more clear understanding of each side's position as to what needs to be done.
Correct.
And that some of these areas of discussion are now being honed in on.
Correct.
Okay, good. So again, any idea as far as a schedule? I mean, why not put this sucker on first reading and try to at least get a first reading on it?
Yeah, I would love to. I don't think we're quite there. I think we're close. So hopefully, you know, it feels like we've been saying we're close for a while. We are as close as we've been, that's for sure. So, you know, I would love to see first reading sometime in March, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Do you get a sense from your other council members that if these areas of discussion can be agreed upon, that this might be supported?
I certainly hope so. I think so. As I said before, there seems to be a consensus on the macro level.
Right.
This is great.
Yep.
This is the right way to fund the infrastructure. Let's make the numbers work. Right. Devil's always in the details.
Sure. I hate to think the downside.
We don't want to miss out on this.
No,
I mean, missing
no.
out on the largest economic development deal in this county's history.
Yep.
One that's generational, one
yep.
of the largest for the state. It's something that sends shockwaves throughout the region. So missing out on this is just not an option.
Good. Good way to end the program. Joel Hamilton, thank you for all that you're doing on the York County Council, and more fun to come.
That's right.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
keep
man.
Up the good work. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, everybody's ready now. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. You guys can join in, too. They're all going to read the white letters together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.